In the Simonim for the Haggadah for Leila Pesach, we start with Kadesh and then we go to Urchatz. Kadesh represents his karchus, to sanctify oneself, and Urchatz represents purification, to be mitar oneself. And Lechaira, as the Shem Yishmuel raises the objection, it should have been Urchatz and then Kadesh, or Rechatz and then Kadesh. Because the pasuk says, "V'rachatzta v'sachachta v'sachta v'samta simlo secha." First, we have rechitza, and then we have kiddush. First, the person has to purify himself, sur mira, and then, and only then, move on to the next level of asei tov. So, Mirtz Hashem will come back towards the end of our discussion today to the answer of the Shem Yishmuel. But first, we want to study the insights of Rabbi Yonasan Eibeshitz in his Yaros Dvash. He's focused on a Gemara in Masechta Tainis, and I got it on Daf Dalet Amud Aleph. The Gemara is darshaning Psukim in Sefer Hoshea. Hoshea Perek Vav, Hoshea Perek Yudalid. And there is a dialogue between Knesset Yisrael and HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Amar Rabbi Brechia, Af Knesset Yisrael, Sha'ala Shaloka Hogen. The request of Knesset Yisrael was, shall we say, partial. It wasn't complete. It was not perfect. But Va'Kodesh Baruch Hu Heshiva Kahogen. But Hashem's response is a perfect response. Shenemar, what is it that Klal Yisrael are asking for? And the pasuk describes Geshem, v'neida nidefala dasas Hashem kishachar nachon motzo v'yavi kigeshem lanu. The punchline here, the emphasis in this pasuk for our purposes today, is on the last three words, v'yavo kigeshem lanu. And we're asking, in the context of our relationship, in the description of relationship with Hashem, Ladasas Hashem, as it says early in this pasuk, v'neida will know how to seek out Hashem and understand Him. It's going to be like the Geshem. Amalei HaKadosh Baruch Hu biti at sho'eles davar, by your analogy to Geshem, you're asking for something she'pa'amim mizbakesh, pa'amim eno mizbakesh. At certain times we need it, and at other times we do not. Certain times it's there, it's given, the rain comes down from the heavens. Other times it's nowhere to be found. Avalani, but I'm in response, Eyelacha, or Eyelach, Dovar Mizbakesh Li'olam. Something that's given, it's not transitory, it doesn't come and go, it's permanent. It's something that we always need, and it's built into the very fabric of the universe. Shenemar Eye Ketal Li Yisrael. I will be unto Israel like the Tal. And as you know, just a few days ago, we prayed for Tal at the beginning of Yontif, of Pesach. On Sukkot, we pray for rain, for Geshem. Now it's Tal. And we've added Morda Tal in davening. That's the minhag here in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yonasan Eibeshitz says the following: Yesh lahavin ma'u geshem ma'u tal. What are the symbolic allusions of geshem on the one hand and tal on the other hand? Why is it that Klal Yisrael are requesting geshem and Hashem's response is, I'm going to give you something greater, and that's tal? Let's try to understand this. Avol noda. Masha Omru, Masha Kosvu, Kala Machkarim. He says, let me give you access to the scientific inquiries and investigations regarding both rain and dew. Ki Geshem, what produces rain? Rain is a result of Lachus Eretz, the moisture down on the globe, on earth. Ha'ola, which goes up, Mila, up to the heavens, v'chelkei mayim zachim ha'olim, and these waters are divided up into clear and pure waters, v'kasha yagiu l'maylo yiskabtu, and somehow the waters, even though they're coming up in different parts from different areas on the globe, in segments, yet they gather together up in Shamayim. And how does that happen? Ki chom ha-shemesh, it's a result of the heat of the sun, megarsham milamala liskabetz yachat, sort of pushes the water drops from one place to another until they gather together. Kilo nasa ha-chom lases osam lios shnei ha-fochim v'yeredu la'aretz. And then, as a result of this heating process, there's no possibility for the upper spheres to carry this moisture. The heating process makes that impossible. He doesn't go into a scientific explanation as to why, but he says as a result of the fact that it's impossible for this water to maintain its height, to retain its state of being up in Shemayim, therefore it comes down to the earth. However, he says, Kasher yizbayet yisyavesh ha'adama, when the ground is dry, v'lo yalu lachus kol kach, there's no moisture that's really rising up to the heavens, lo yerdu ha'geshamim. In other words, he's claiming that the dryness, the kind of drought down in earth, is what is the reason or the source that generates the dryness as far as rain coming down from Shamayim. Aval, but in contrast, hatal, eino milachus ha'aretz. The dew that falls from heavens is not a result of the moisture down on earth. And as we said before, whether the earth is moist or not, that'll depend, and that's contingent, that'll change. Aval, but with regard to tal, rak yored minetifos halachus bechelek ha'aver harochok mitonu, in the far distant spheres, in the higher realms of the atmosphere, there are droplets of moisture that are in the atmosphere itself, far, far away from the earth. The omed tomid kar velach, and they are maintained by both the coldness and the wetness. Umisham yitfu igle tal al haaretz, and from up there in those high spheres, the dew will drop, these droplets of dew, onto the ground. V'lechein tamid, on a constant basis, yom biyomo, ke'acham k'tzas hayom, when the day becomes a little bit hotter, then yerdu tipe tal min achilek ha'aver mekuror, then from that part of the atmosphere where the drops of dew are enveloped by coldness, then the tal will fall when that hot air hits up against the cold air. V'lekach tal eino netzar liolam. And the dew is never withheld. It's always there. All this is meant to be a metaphor, a symbol for two different categories or initiations of tshuva. Hine kenador b'tshuva. On the one hand, tzorach lis'orus dilatato milamata. One category of tshuva requires man taking the first step. The initiative is down here on earth. Hodem tzorach lasos mi'at b'tshuva. Even if man is incapable of a full tshuva, but nevertheless he's able to start the process, take the first step. Aval HaKadosh Baruch Hu achar kach ozro, but God then will help and intensify the tshuva process. Ki amram, as the Gemara says in Yuma, habo l'tayr misayin oso. When man takes that first step, Hashem will help him and guide him and strengthen his tshuva process. Ki adam tzarech liftoach b'tshuva. But man has to open the door to tshuva, take the first step. V'chein amr b'medrish. And now he quotes a medrish to support this pshat. Omar HaKadosh Baruch Hu pischuli kesedek shal machat, even if you only open up for me a crack like the small eye of a needle. Ani eftach lachem kisharo shel heichal. I will open up for you the gates of the palace. Obviously something great and wide. Aval al kol ponim, but nevertheless, tzarech lechatchila, the first step has to be uvda dilatata, the action of man down on earth. Hashem comes to greet man, but man took the first step. Omnom. However, and contrastly, osid lavo, there's going to be a different process as we come close to the ultimate redemption. In chas v'shalom, Yisrael ein osim tshuva, if the Jewish nation do not arouse themselves to take the initiative to do tshuva, mikom kom nigom, there will be a geula. Hashem has promised the redemption, ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu yashpia, and God will initiate this process, b'li uvdil tato, without the initiation of man, the initiative of man down on earth. Ki HaKadosh Baruch Hu omer, Pasuk says in Yeshaya Novi, lemani esa, for my sake I will do it. V'hu yashpia milamala, and he, with a capital H, will influence from on top, shifo, this wonderful shefa, this powerful force, litayr levavos, to purify hearts, bili uvda dilatato klal, without any initiative on the part of man. Ukmo shahoya b'esa bria, if we look back at the process of creation, dilohoya uvda dilatato klal, there was no earth to take the initiative. Kmo shenemar v'adam ayin, La vodas adoma, man is not here to work the land. Umikol makom nevertheless ishpia Kadosh Baruch Hu ki aso lebrias olam. God took the initiative and created the world. V'chein yelosid lavo, and that initiative on the part of Hashem will be paralleled liosid lavo by Hashem taking that first step to purify klali so and bring about the ultimate geula. And based on this, we can swing back to the Gemara in Tainus, the Agadah, about Klal Yisrael asking, in as recorded in Hosea, that we have a relationship with Hashem like the Geshem. Knesses Yisrael Choshvu Shebeli Uvdil Tata B'psichas Hatshuva Lo Tiyash Pas Elokim Milamala. Klal Yisrael understood that unless they take the initiative by opening up the process of tshuva, there won't be any influence from on high coming down. Ki kach chok v'nimus milafonav. That's the statute, that's the law that governs the universe. Ulekach bakashosom. Therefore, their request was v'yovo ki geshem lanu. Let it be like the geshem, which we described the geshem, which is initiated by the earth. And therefore, kasha yasu milamata tshuva maisim tovim, when we down here on earth will begin the process of tshuva and good deeds, mi'at, even a small amount, kafnachas zoyer shom, even if it's a little bit here, a little bit there, it's spread out, yered shifas kodsho milamala. We hope and we pray that the influence from on high will come flowing down, and God will appear close to us. We'll have an encounter with Him whenever we call out to Him, like the rain, that the water goes up on high in small amounts. The Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but God's response, you're asking for something which is occasional. It's not constant. And then you're putting Klal Yisrael, within the context of your request, into a very precarious situation. What if the Jewish nation doesn't take that initiative? And it's a situation like a drought when the earth here is dry and there's no water that's rising up to Shamayim. I will do something similar to the creation of the world. I will appear to you without the initiative of man, but the entire process will begin like the creation of the universe from on high. Vizel, and that's what it means. Eyek et tal, Yisrael. God's response was, I will be to the people of Israel like tal, like the dew, haba milamala, that comes from on high and moves down without any influence, any initiative by the waters and the moisture down on earth. L'kach nimtzatom, and it's always there. Kevin Shein Tzorch le'uvdil tato klal, it's not conditional, it's not contingent on man making that initiative. And the great Rav Meir Shapira in his Haggadah expands upon this insight of the Aris Dvash. And he says the following. Lachain bePesach. This has a tremendous influence or revelation in terms of our understanding of Pesach. Tremendous repercussion. The Yisod HaYisodos of Pesach is that the Jewish people did not take the initiative. They were, in a sense, too far gone. Goy mikerv goy, if you will. But Hashem made a calculation that down the line, after the redemption, they will stand at Har Sinai and accept the Torah. Lachain, it makes absolute sense now. Why on Pesach are we praying for Tal? What's the relation between Pesach in its inherent essence and Tal and Du? Ki b'chol shana, every time within the year is a cycle, a spiral. B'zman hazeh is ora hakoach hazeh. This power, this attribute is strong, and he invokes the nusach of the bracha shechiyanu v'kimanu v'giyanu lasman hazeh. Every year and every part of a year, we come to this zman. This zman has a skula to it, a certain inherent power to it, and this skula inherent in the time period called Pesach is tal. But besukas son of his palm sheesh pilanu kol tov al yidei ayom kudoshim shom. She'avru. Sukkot is in contrast to Pesach, is the time when the Jewish people take the initiative. After the Yom HaMekudoshim, after the passing of Hashana, Yom Kippur, Esrei Tshuva, we did what we did. Now we ask Hashem that He be Mashpia, Kol Tuv, that He give us these great gifts from on high, because we took the initiative of Korchis Harusa Dilatata. It was man, it was the Jew who took the initiative through the days of Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, etc. And therefore, Hashem should be mashpia kol tuv kemo hashpas hageshem l'chaim mispaolim besukas al hageshem. It's absolutely appropriate that during this period of time of Sukkot we're praying for geshem, because geshem represents the response up on high to what goes on down on earth, to the Isarusa del Tator that started with the Yomim HaMekudoshim of Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. And here, we're going to refer to a Haggadah called the Otsos HaTorah, and there's a quote here, a beautiful quote from Rabbi Baruch Mimezrich, which is pronounced a little differently, Mezibuz, and he says the following, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu demands of man that he, that man, be mishtadl kichol yicholto, that he should take whatever measures he can according to the strength and the energy that he has, lefi shu moshit lo esos rosso, because God says, I will extend my hand to help you. Omar HaKadosh Baruch, the Medrash in Shir Hashirim, says that Hashem declares li Yisrael, to the people of Israel, piskuli Pesach, kechuto shal machan, v'ni eftach lachem Pesach, Shiu agolos ukronos nichnosos bo, open up like the needle, the eye of a needle, a small amount, and I will open for you a wide, wide opening where the carriages could go through. Aval b'nei Yisrael v'mitzrayim, that was impossible. Hayishkuim b'mem tashari tuma holchu v'zdarderu ad shekemat nitmu kolil. They were really on the lowest level. It wasn't realistic to expect that man, that the Jew would take that initiative of pischuli kepesach shel machat kechudo shel machat. Oh, oz mir HaKadosh Baruch Hu l'golam. HaKadosh Baruch Hu took the initiative to redeem them. V'lo himtin ad sheheim yisoreru liftoach es pischo shel machat chila. Ben yemuchar midai. It might be too late. Hashem wasn't going to wait for the Jewish people to take the initiative. Al kein nemar uposach Hashem al pesach. Hashem skipped over that Pesach. What's that Pesach? That's the Pesach of Pischuli Pesach, Kechudo Shel Machat. Hashem Viter. God waived the prerequisite of Psichas HaPesach from our position. We have to take the initiative. God said, you know what? In the case of Mitzrayim, I'm going to give up. I'm going to waive, W-A-I-V-E, waive that demand that you initiate with a Pesach Shel Machat. And the entire Geula took place as a result of God's initiative. Of course, the obvious question here in the Haggadah of Otzos HaTorah is that we know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us two mitzvahs. He gave us Dam Pesach and Dam Milah. And Chazal tells us that because we observe those two mitzvahs, Golo Sonu HaKadosh Baruch Hu redeemed us. So we did to open up a Pesach. But the answer is that the Pesach begins the initiative of HaKadosh Baruch Hu even before these two mitzvahs. God didn't wait till there would be a Pesach in order for Hashem to give them these two mitzvahs. He gave them these two mitzvahs on his, capital H, his initiative. And as a result, he aroused them, he awoken within them the desire to fulfill these mitzvahs. And that means that Hashem waived the requirement of the Pesach and brought about the Geula through his initiative. The Ramah in Aruch Chaim Siman Reish Nun Pei says, Yesh Omrim, he quotes the Ran in Arvei Pesachim, that we should recite Shvoch HaMoscha L'Goyim before Lo Lanu, and we should open the door at that point when we recite Shvoch HaMoscha L'Goyim. And if we take a look in Rabbi Avram, Roshiv of Torvadas, in his Haggadah called Alekach Valibuv, Yesh Lefarish, he says about opening the door at Shvoch HaMoscha, Al Pima Shomru Chazal, Kol Masha Kodesh Baruch Hu goes there, Al Yisrael Huma Kaima Tchila. Any mandate we get from Hashem, first Hashem himself fulfills that command. If we have this minog, at least, of opening the door, it must be that HaKadosh Baruch Hu opens the door, and then he tells us to open the door. Up and high, Hashem is opening the door for every member of Klal Yisrael. To every member of Klal Yisrael, you can reach high levels. Likanes b'sharim, to enter into the gates, derech dilug, and you can skip steps, shaloba hadraga, not the step-by-step process which requires man's initiative. And if we swing back now to the Shem Yishmuel, the Sokachov that we began with, and he quotes his father, that the reason why we begin with Kadesh on this night, and Urchatz comes second, is because at the time of Yetzis Mitzrayim, the Geula was brought about, even though we weren't worthy of the Geula. K'nichsiv v'at erom v'eriya. We were really naked of any merits. K'mochem l'doros. This is, that Geula is inherent in the time period of Yetzias Mitzrayim for all generations. Misoreres, bizman hazeh hashpas hakedusha. So we start with Kedusha, we can skip steps, l'chol echad v'echad, even if we're not roy l'kach. And the Chidushi Arima, the Ger Rebbe writes on Parshas HaChodesh, we have HaChodesh Asher Yeshuos Bo Makifos. In the Nusach of the Yotzos, we speak about the month of Nisan, where the Yeshuos Hashem is Makifos. What does it mean, Makifos? It surrounds us. He says, HaKadosh Baruch Hu Lokach B'Chodesh Zes Yeshua BeHakofa. He says, Makifos, although literally it means here in this context to surround, but the word Hakofa with the same root, if you conjugate it slightly differently, means to buy something on credit. I come into a store, I don't have the money in my pocket, the vendor offers me credit. That's called Hakofa. And here too, at the time of the Geula, in Chodesh Nisan, HaKadosh Baruch Hu offers us Hakofa. He says, I'm going to give it to you on credit. You don't really deserve the redemption, but later on, down the line, you'll pay back, so to speak, and payday is Kavol Satorah. Is Golam al Cheshbon Shasidim Achkach LeKabol Satorah. And a similar idea we see in the Ribnev and Rabbi Nachum Mendel, Miribnev in the Beres Mayim, he writes, Biyotros LeChodesh, for Chodesh Nisan, Asher Yeshuas Bo Makivos, Makivos will be Loshen Chenvani Shemakiv. He gives you credit, he extends you credit, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Makif HaYeshua. He gives us, you know, he gives us the Yeshua now, even though we're not deserving of that Geula V'gam, Sheinenu Kedai, even though we don't merit it, Roy V'Hogein L'kach, we don't deserve it, Ki Ulai Yizke L'Hava, but hopefully we'll be able later down the line to pay up for this. And here we'll take a look at the Meshech Chochma and Vaschanon. And as usual, a grace Yashik Koyach to the, what I call the Makabtze Makoros. You know, I usually thank Rav Olbaum, but also Rav Daniel Glatstein for pointing out these Makoros, especially the Meshech Chochma, who really reflects and ties together all the ideas that we've been discussing. And he really does a beautiful job, the Meshech Chochma, in putting it into one particular Medrash, as we'll see momentarily. And he writes in Parshas Veschanon, V'hinei kasher nizbonen ala moadim, when we'll think about the three regalim, we'll see that each one has its own horah, you know, its own teaching. The horah of Chag HaPesach, what's the teaching of Chag HaPesach? Hofas v'ashpas alokim. It means God presents himself, reveals himself, influences us from on high, Alamo Yisro Mitzido, and it all starts from Hashem. Hashem takes the initiative. Shotzionu Mitzrayim, V'nigle, and he reveals himself, Bechvodo, in his kavod, his glory, Be'amuda'an, the Anane, HaKavod, Avo Yisro Be'atzmam, how you describe the Jewish people, Pasuk says of Aschanan Goy Mikarev Goy, or as Chazal say in the Medrash Shir Hashirim, Halolu of the Avodah Zara, Halolu of the Avodah Zara. All they had was Pesach Umila because they were commanded to do so. But even on their own, they didn't have the merits for the Geula. In fact, the language of Chazal in the Mechilta is that Hashem declares, Higia Shvua Shenishbati Lavram Sheegal as part of Lohoya Biyoda Mitzvos Lusasigman Kadesh Yigalu, the At Arom the area. God gave them two mitzvahs because they were completely devoid of any mitzvahs. Im Kain Mitzidam says the Meshechoch Malohoya Hachana is Kavasalakim. We didn't have any major kind of preparation, we didn't come close to Hashem. Rak mitzido yisparach, everything came from God's initiative. Then we move on to the next major moed, which is, of course, Chag HaTzeres. Here we find a mutual movement, so to speak. His karvus yisrael avim shemayim, we, the Jewish people, take that initiative moving towards Hashem to get close, b'prisha shloshi yomim, and not only do we prepare for 3 days, but Achdus, Vayichin Sham Yisrael, and finally with Kabbalah Samitzvahs, Nasa V'Nishma. But Mitzido Yisbarach, but Hashem then responds with the initiative of Hofas Ar Eloki. He reveals this supernal light. Vegilui Kvodo reveals his great infinite glory. Matan Torah gives us his infinite wisdom and the mitzvahs in the Torah. And therefore the Pasuk says, in Kitovo Hashem HaMircha Es Hashem HaMarta. God chooses us and we choose him. Chativa mul chativa. There's one unit, and that parallels the other unit. It's based on a sugyan brachos, an agadat adafov, Dorish Rabbi Elazar ben Azariah, Es Hashem Amarta Ayom, Hashem Amircha Ayom, Amar Lema Kodesh Baruch Yisrael, Atem Asisuni Chativa Achas Ba'olam, meaning in this world, Amartem Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elkenu Hashem Echad, Ani, Af Ani Aseh Itchem, Otchem, Chativa Achas Ba'olam, Shenemar Miki Amcha Yisrael, Goy Echad Ba'aretz. So it's a mutual, reciprocal relationship between HaKadosh Baruch Hu Knesset Yisrael in both directions. Then finally we get to the third of the Moadim, Lokein B'Chagah Sukkos. What's unique about Chagah Sukkos? Hayizkarvus Mitzad Yisrael. We really carry the ball from one goal to the next goal, the full 100 yards. Shem Asu Tshuva Gemura Al Cheta Egel. As a result of the Cheta Egel, which had taken place back in the month of Av, they did an entire process of Tshuva that culminated on Yom Kippur. Hem Asu Tshuva Gemura Al Chet. And here the Meshech Chochma throws in a few words here to try to sort of reduce that chet. And he writes, what were they doing tshuva for? Shalomichu b'erev rav. You know, the whole process of avodah zarah of the Egel was all because of the erev rav, and the Jewish people weren't strong enough to fight and battle and protest against the erev rav. And this is based on the Mefarshei Torah that are earlier than the Meshech Chochma. Rav Kup in his footnote quotes a Sfarno who writes, Afal Pishlo Kulam Velo Rubam Nikalu Al Aaron, even though it wasn't the majority of the people of Israel, but rather Lo Michu, they didn't object and protest against those who took that initiative. Vehem Heviu Nidvasam Baboker Baboker, the Pasuk at the end of Parshas Mishpatim describes the various karbonos that they brought, and in later parshios with regard to the Mishkan, they brought so many gifts to contribute to the building of the Mishkan. Yosef Yidai L'chom Lechas HaMishkan, and therefore Kodesh Baruch Hu returns to them the Anani Akovo. This is all based on the Vilna Gaon in his Pirush on Shir HaShirim, where he says that the Anani HaKavod on the highest level, I'm talking about the spiritual Anani HaKavod, taken away after Chet HaEgel, they're only returned on the first day of Sukkot, on the 15th of Tishrei. And now comes the punchline, where the Meshech Chochma, Meir Simcha, takes this entire idea of breaking down the three regolim and paralleling them to different kinds of relationships in terms of who took the initiative onto a medrash for Shir HaShirim. The medrash describes a discussion between Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai and Rabbi Loz and one great Tana asking the other Tana, Efshar sheshamata miavicha mao, what is the pasuk referring to? Batora sheitra lo imo, this kind of canopy or this beautiful head covering that was given to him by his mother. Where do we find such a thing? There must be some deep symbolic message here. Amalo, hey, this is what I heard. And he gives him a marshal of a melech shahoya lo bas yechida. He has one daughter. That's his only offspring. Hoya mechava yoser midai. Tremendous amount of love. Endless love that he showered upon his daughter. Vayakora osa biti. And he called up my daughter. Lo zaz mechava vachakora osa achosi. There was another dimension to the father, the king's love for his princess, his daughter, and that's called Achosi Lozos Michaval Chekara Imi. And a third dimension is my mother. All this is an allusion to the relationship they between and the love of HaKadosh Baruch Hu for Klal Yisrael. Yemachavev HaKadosh Baruch Hu Yoser Midai LeYisrael. The greatest love that he had for Klal Yisrael was Biti. In other words, it expressed itself in the fact that he called the people of Israel Biti. And that's based on a pasuk in... we'll see the pasuk in a minute. Just give me a second here. Lozaz Michava Chikara Imi. Okay. Let's see if we have all the psukim here. Let's see. He quotes a pasuk in Yeshayahu Anavi. Hikshivu Elai Imi. Okay, so at least we have the pasuk for Imi. And he says here, Chazano al kol mikra kulu matzonu shasa bas basheva Torah l'shlomo bina. Why are we forced to interpret this pasuk atar shitrolo imo in a symbolic way? Is because we don't find anywhere in the mikra that Batsheva created an atara for her son Shlomo. So what is batar shitrolo imo? Ella, but rather, my Torah zu mishupas ba'avonim tovos u'margolios kachayu mitzuyin ol moed b'tcheles v'argomon b'talashonim v'sheish. And the Meshech Chochma suggests that zem more al shlosha zmanim ha'ela. This is an allusion to the three periods of time. The bas is on the receiving end. Everything is being showered upon the bas, and that's what happened at the time of Yitzias Mitzrayim. B'eis matan Torah, hayu begeder achosi sheshneim mashpiim mekablim zem mizem mechablim zem zeh. The relationship between a brother and a sister is a mutual, reciprocal relationship. V'achkach b'eis asiyas ha-mishkan hoya begeder imo. And what does that mean? That at the time when the people of Israel built the Mishkan, it was imo, meaning raki ha-mashpas. The mother bestows everything. V'hi ha-poelis mitzido levad. Ulami says, begeder achiba. Hine lehefa ki abas ahuva yoser. V'lzeh omar hayim achava yoser midai v'korosa biti. Now, as far as the chavivus is concerned, the greatest level of chavivus is that of the level of Yetzias Mitzrayim, in which HaKadosh Baruch Hu speaks about Klal Yisrael as biti. And that's what it means, machava yoser midai. And he says, "Pirish le'inyan achavivus hayakoreos atomid biti af b'shosh akoreimi." In other words, the ava of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Klal Yisrael, remains absolutely straight, strong, and it's called biti, even when Klal Yisrael take the initiative, and they kilu mashpia on HaKadosh Baruch Hu like an aim, but the dveikus of the avas Hashem is still yosem idai because of biti. And that means that Yetzias Mitzrayim is the greatest level of that relationship, the most intense level of that relationship. Rabosai, before we conclude the shir, I just want to point out that today is the fourth day of Pesach, which means the midway between Yetzias Mitzrayim on the one hand and Kriyas Yam Suf on Shvi Shel Pesach on the other hand. And perhaps today, as the fourth day of Pesach, is the bridge between the two. And I wanted to share with you the insight of the Tolda Rebbe in terms of this bridge between the two. The Tolda Rebbe wants to answer a question of Rav Naftali Katz, who was the author of the Smichas Chachamim. He was a great Makubal. He's actually buried in Turkey. And he has a question on a Gemara in Masechta Brachos on Daf Nun Zayin. The Gemara there is, of course, in the Perek of Dreams. Haroa te'eno b'chalom, if a person sees a fig tree in his dream, toroso mishtameres b'kirbo. It means that he will be able, his Torah will be guarded inside of him, so to speak, b'kirbo, and he won't lose his Torah. And he quotes a pasuk in Mishlei to prove this, Netzar te'ena yochal pirya, one who guards his fig tree and makes sure that he picks the fruit when they ripen on the tree, he will surely eat his fruit. Then the Gemara goes on to say, Aroa rimonim b'chalom, if he sees pomegranates in his dream, that's already a different symbolism. And it says the following, Zutri, if he sees small pomegranates, that signifies pre-asakeo kirimonim, that his business dealings will be fruitful, like a small pomegranate. Ravrav, if he sees larger pomegranates, then Ravravi, it signifies that his business dealings will multiply like the seeds of a pomegranate. But then it says the following. If he sees palgi means that the pomegranates are cut into different slices, then im tamid chacham hu, if he's a Torah scholar, yitzapel a Torah, he should expect to attain wisdom in Torah. V'yamama aretzu yitzapel a mitzvos, he should anticipate fulfilling many, many mitzvos. Kirimon, like the seeds of a pomegranate. What bothered the Smichas Chachom about this Gemara? He was bothered by the fact that with regard to a fig in a dream, there's no subdivision as to how a Talmud Chacham should interpret the dream, how an Amoret should interpret the dream. It's purely about Torah, and that Torah will be guarded inside of him. Mishtameres b'kirbo. But what about an Amoretz? You know, no mention, no allusion to an Amoretz over here. When we get to the pomegranates, then we talk about an Amoretz. So in order to answer this question, we begin with one of the insights of the Ger Rebbe. The Ger Rebbe, the Pnei Menachem was his name, he says that the 7 days of Pesach correspond to the Shivas Haminim. He gives various examples. The Torah says Eretz Chita. So the first of the Zayim Minim is Chita. That represents the mitzvah of matzah that's usually baked from Chita, from wheat. And then it says Siora. That refers to the second day of Pesach, on which the Omer was brought. The Omer was brought from barley, from Siora. And he goes on and on. Then he speaks about Dvash, which is the date honey, that's the last of the seven minim, and that parallels the seventh day, which Chazal tell us in Ovis Dereb Nosan, that when Kali saw cross the Red Sea on the seventh day of Pesach, the babies were fed with honey. Fine. It comes out that according to his Cheshvin, the fourth day of Pesach parallels the Te'ena, the fig. And we spoke about the Te'ena as the symbol of Torah study. Now, why is the fig tree the symbol of Torah study? The Medrash says that when Moshe Rabbeinu saw that the Benos Slavchot had rights to their father's Yerusha, Moshe Rabbeinu thought that that was the golden opportunity for him to ask that his children should inherit his position. And Hashem says no. Notzer te'ena, which means one who watches a fig tree and he picks its fruit when they ripen, is yochal pirya. He will eat the fruit of the fig tree, which is the exact same pasuk that we saw earlier that was quoted by the Gemara in Brachos with regard to a pasuk in Mishnah with regard to someone who sees a fig tree in his dream. And the Tanchuma in Parshas Pinchas, of course, goes on to say, Banecha Yashvu lehem v'lo osku v'torah. Your sons did not dedicate themselves to Torah, and therefore it's Yoshua, but rather Yoshua who served you and was dedicated to Torah study, he will inherit your position. Then the Medrash goes on to say that why is the fig Notzer Teina, the symbol of Torah study? And the Medrash goes on to contrast figs with other fruits like dates and grapes and olives, in which case all of the other fruits are harvested in one shot, the entire harvest. But in the case of Teina, and this is also Sugya Vav Vasu in the third parak, the harvesting is day by day. The dates ripen one day after the other. V'kach HaTorah, says the Medrash, the same thing is with regard to the study of Torah. Hayom lo mid ma'at, today, you have a small piece of Torah, and you accomplish that, l'machar, and the next day, harbe, you go on to a larger piece of Torah. You build, gradually. L'fisha einam islamedes lo v'shanav lo v'shtatayim, 1 year of Torah study, and another year of Torah, that's not enough. It's a whole lifelong endeavor, and a career of Talmud Torah. And this is really interesting because when you think about it, the fact that the fig tree needs to be harvested day by day, I mean, that makes it a bit of a hassle, and yet that becomes the symbol of Torah study. But the answer is that this is the specific trait that we want to learn from the fig tree. Somebody might say, I can't study Torah. How can I cover all of Nezikin, all the three Bavas? How can I cover Caleb? Masechta Caleb is 30 prakim long. I give up. I despair of ever knowing this. But the answer is, if you do it slowly, if like the fig tree, you reap the fruits of your labor slowly day by day, that's the way we harvest the fig tree, then you have a shot at it. And this is something that is really indicated by Edrishin Vayikra Rabbah, that compares the study of Torah to the following job. Let's say you have a tall mountain and you are called upon by the government, or maybe you need it for your own backyard, to level the mountain. And the Medrash says the only way of succeeding in doing so is by taking 2 pails of soil from the mountain every day until you finally totally level the mountain. That's the slow, gradual process of Talmud Torah. And if a person sees Torah study as a great mountain, he shouldn't despair. He should really work on it hard. Yetzias Mitzrayim was not something that the Jewish people deserved, as we discussed at great length before. And Hashem took us out b'chipazon before we would hit the bottom barrel. We didn't really deserve it. But yet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu now, after Yetzias Mitzrayim, wants us to deserve it. He wants us to take that spiritual high that was just granted to us, in the sense gratis, without any work and toil, at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, and now build on it. That's what the days of the Sefiros Omer are all about. And the first challenge really is on the fourth day of Yetzias Mitzrayim, because the Medrash tells us that Klal Yisrael left Mitzrayim on Yom Chamishi. They traveled until a place called Ramses, and there they spent Yom Shishi and Shabbos. On Sunday, on Yom Rishon, which was the fourth day after Yetzias Mitzrayim, they prepared their belongings and their animals to leave the camp. And there's a whole story that the Mechilta tells us, in which, Parah supervises that he had sent along with Klal Yisrael, they were trying to pressure Klal Yisrael on the fourth day to return to Mitzrayim. The deal was that they go out for 3 days. And the people of Israel, rose up against these supervisors, these Mitzrayim, and they said, we went out with Yad Ramah, we are not bound by Paro's jurisdiction. We left and we don't have to fulfill the words and the desire of Paro. And yet these supervisors started threatening them, you'll have to fulfill the will of the king, and so forth and so on. And then Klal Yisrael started beating them up, and some of them got killed, some of them went back to Paro. And Moshe Rabbeinu at this point turns to Klal Yisrael, and oddly enough, he says, turn around and head back to Mitzrayim. V'piagvur nemerli shatem b'nei chorin, but v'yeshvu v'yachnu lifnei piachiros. Now, piachiros, in terms of its location relative to Ramses, is back towards Mitzrayim. And Chazal explained that Klal Yisrael were given this strange instruction to head back towards Mitzrayim. And why? Because this was the challenge, the great Nisayon that they would have to face. You know, Yetzias Mitzrayim was Bechipazon. And now, you know, the situation of Klal Yisrael is that they have to slowly but surely build themselves up spiritually. And the first Nisayon, which was the great Nisayon, is to travel back towards Mitzrayim. This is the most odd kind of mandate that you could imagine. And the Sfasemis is famous for saying that this was necessary for Hashem to command Moshe to tell Klal Yisrael to turn around and go in the opposite direction as the Amud Ha'anan. And this was unbelievable. Rashi says, this is, if you want to look it up in Shmos Yudal, Pasuk Dal, Lahagid Shvachan, this was the great praise of Klal Yisrael. Sheshamu Lekol Moshe, they hearkened to the command of Moshe. V'lo Omru, and they didn't say, Heich Niskari V'la Rotfenu, how can we move back and get closer towards our pursuers? Anu Tzrichim Levrach, we have to run away. Ella, but they said, Omru, Ein Lanu Ella Divir of Amram, we'll listen to the words of Ben Amram. And as Fasema says, that this is really the schus for which they were able to survive Kriyas Yamsuf. The initial experience and the spiritual elevation that they achieved at the time of Yetzias Mitzrayim, that was granted to them. But that wouldn't last long. Now they were at Yamsuf, they had to attain new spiritual levels based on their own merits. And therefore on the fourth day, they had to face this great Nisayon of listening to the words of Moshe Rabbeinu and going in the opposite direction, back towards Mitzrayim. And this explains why the fourth day, which was that Sunday in which they were Omeid B'Nisayon, has the symbolism of a fig tree, of the Te'ena. Because the Te'ena has to be picked slowly, day by day. And this is the approach to personal growth. When a person develops himself spiritually, it's got to be a step-by-step process. The Yetzias Mitzrayim itself, which was Bechipazon, that's the exception to the rule, and that only has a temporary impact. Now we have to get to the permanent impact, to overcome the challenges day by day, to slowly build up, to attain these spiritual levels in a manner that it will have long-term impact and continuity. And this process begins on the fourth day of Pesach, to fortify their emunah in Moshe Rabbeinu and Klal, in HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and that is the Te'ena. That slow, you know, continuous effort. Not quick, but build it up. And that's what Torah is all about. And that's what it means to answer the question of the Smichas Chacham that we began with. Why is it that in the two symbols of the dreams, when it comes to pomegranates, the Chazal split it into two? And, you know, that's that differentiation between the Talmud Chacham and Am Haaretz is because the pomegranate really symbolizes quantity. You know, it's numerous seeds. So what is that quantity? I mean, to expect that an Am Haaretz would have a quantity of Torah study, that's not logical. Therefore, Chazal say that if it's an Am Haaretz who saw these pomegranates, it's got to be mitzvos. Ribui mitzvahs, but for a Torah student, a Torah scholar, it's a Talmud Chacham, he sees ribui Torah. The fig, on the other hand, that's a whole different symbolism. That's the protracted effort, lashkia, to put more and more work to really acquire Torah study. Here, we're not going to differentiate between the Am Haaretz and the Talmud Chacham. The message of the fig, of the fig tree and the dream, or even of an Am Haaretz, is that he too, the Am Haaretz, will be able to achieve great heights in Torah knowledge. You don't have to be a great Talmud Chacham to be challenged by the fig tree of Torah knowledge. Every day is an opportunity to learn Torah. day by day. And that availability is, you know, all Jews are created equal. Everyone could take advantage and could benefit from this challenge and raise his level of knowledge in a slow sort of way. Don't let the Yetzer Hara get the best of us. And we have to overcome the Yetzer Hara. And one of the great ways of strengthening ourselves against the Yetzer Hara is through our Meilus B'Torah, through work, toil, and Torah, methodically, day after day, like the fig tree. We have to be Zochem Yirtzeh Hashem to that level of Tavdunus Elokim Ba'arazeh on Shavuos and work through the days of Sfiras Over. And this was the opportunity to build ourselves spiritually that began on the fourth day, the day of the Te'ena. And that is the bridge between Yetzias Mitzrayim and Kriyas Yamsuf. At Kriyas Yamsuf, we reach the level of Zeh Kelim Yaveu, and that would propel us through the upcoming period of the bridge to Chag HaShavuos, to Kabbalas HaTorah, Mevizoche, to receive the Torah with all its spiritual power on Chag HaShavuos. Kein Yiratzon. Amen.